I would love to take a quick informal poll. How many of you would love to do away with the time changing that happens? Who would like to just do away with it? Just completely be done with it? Absolutely. This morning I pulled into church right about 7:45. Like I normally get here about that time, and I got a phone call. And my 7-year-old daughter called me on the phone, and I thought, this is kind of strange. She should be asleep right now. What's she doing? And I answered the phone, and she said, "Dad, just tell me, is it 6:45 or 7:45? I said, "Honey, it's 7:45. Okay, good. I'm getting up. That was her little moment there. So I'm the authority on time, by the way, if you didn't catch that. Just call me anytime you want. I'll tell you what time it is. So anyway, today we're finishing up our study of Romans chapter 8, More Than Conquerors. And we're going to jump into it, get into it today. I will warn you, I've got a little cough and a little scratchy throat. So if I sound scratchy, just ignore my scratchiness this morning and we'll do it all together. If I cough, just say amen while I'm coughing. It'll kind of cover over that coughing noise. But we're going to study something today just so amazing and awesome in Romans chapter 8. So I'm going to read the white, you guys read the yellow, and here we go. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." If you look at that last line, it talks about the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let me tell you that the love of the Father for us is just amazing. We also see a glimpse of fathers here on earth, our human fathers, our earthly fathers, and we know about their love. Their love sometimes, father's love, sometimes it steps in and it saves us in difficult moments. A father's love can be right there, you know, in that moment. There's a father's love right there. Father's love, that fatherly arm reaching out right there.
Dad's awesome.
Who agrees? Dads are awesome, right? Dads are awesome, exactly. Dads are awesome. But let me tell you, so much more than our earthly expression of love from a father to his children is the love of God for his children. It's such an amazing thing. Look what it says. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? What's going to separate us? And then Paul gives multiple examples of what maybe you might think would separate you. He says, first of all, trouble. Who here has known some trouble in your days? You known some trouble? You got a little trouble out there? Right. Trouble. I have an example of this. I was getting gas at a gas station a couple years ago, and I was getting gas, and these two guys are working right there, and the guy with the ladder in his hand, I watch him while I'm pumping gas. He opens the manhole, puts it aside, and he leans down to look inside the manhole, and he has a cell phone in his pocket of his shirt, and he looked down, and his cell phone fell right down the manhole. Now that, my friends, is trouble. Right there, in that little moment, he actually looked up. I looked at him, he looked at me, and he went like this. You know, like, what am I going to do? I guess he got the ladder out. He's going to go down and get it. I don't know what he's doing next, but I got his picture right there. Trouble. We have trouble in our lives, and beyond trouble, we have the stair kind of goes up to hardship. Hardship can be defined as a job loss. Maybe you're doing well in your career, you're flourishing, and all of a sudden you lose your job, or the unexpected death of a loved one. Just that hardship that can set you back, or a devastating diagnosis that might affect your life. You've got hardship coming in your life. Who here has experienced some hardship in their days? I know I've experienced some hardship myself. And Paul says that can't stop you. That can't separate you from knowing and experiencing the love of God in your life. And how about this one? Persecution. It's a picture of a church right here. This church is in Egypt. For over 1,000 years, every single Sunday, Christians gathered and worshiped in that church. A couple years ago, some Muslim extremists came in and they actually burned that church to the ground. Here's a picture inside, not to the ground, but they burned the church, and there's the sanctuary. And they had a question. After over 1,000 years of worshiping every Sunday, would that congregation gather? And you know what? Right in that burned out room, the congregation, those who would come, gathered and worshiped Christ in that place, continuing to worship him. Nothing can separate. Not trouble, not hardship, not persecution, not famine. Now, understand this. He could have said, not famine, he could have said hunger or overwhelming hunger. But famine is so much more than that. Famine means I don't have enough food to eat, and no one I know has enough food to eat. There's famine. Famine means there's a drought or some problem with the crops, and everyone around me is starving to death. And even in that famine, I cannot be separated from the love of Christ. He says nakedness. Now, why would Paul say nakedness? Maybe it seems out of place to you as you look at these things, but let's just stop. When would Paul be naked? And I'll tell you, naked was how you were when you were caught by the authorities in the first century, and they threw you in prison. Often the first thing they would do, they would take off your clothes, you might be beaten, and you're thrown in your cell, cold and naked, shivering in that place. That nakedness is that feeling like I have nothing to warm me, I have nothing for comfort, perhaps I'm a bit ashamed, I'm laying here naked and beating, but even here, I'm not separated from the love of Christ. Now I wanted to give you a picture on all of these, so I thought I would give you a picture for nakedness, so there you go. Okay, we'll keep going on this. Danger, it says, danger, Paul says next, constant exposure to sudden death is danger. I don't know how many of you have a job or you go places in the world and it's just dangerous. But Paul knew danger, constant exposure to sudden death. Anywhere I go, I might die. There's danger all around me. And last of all, the last one, I think these go from the easiest all the way to the hardest. The last one is the sword. This is a picture of Christian men. They were there. They were working in Libya. They were taken captive by this ISIS affiliate. And there on that beach, they were beheaded. Now listen. Even in that moment, they're there, they're facing the sword, as Paul talks about. But in that moment, nothing could separate them, not those men, not the sword, not impending death. Nothing could separate them from knowing, experiencing, flourishing, living in the love of Christ. Let me just remind you, the Apostle Paul knows what he's talking about. When he talks about danger and nakedness and the sword and persecution and famine. Look what he says. Now just stay with me on this. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul talks about himself. And I want you to think about the man who writes these words. Here's what he says. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. Verse 24 should turn your stomach a little bit. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Now get this, 40 lashes is a death sentence. 39 lashes, 40 lashes minus one means you are beaten. You are lashed and to the point of death, and they stop one lash short. Imagine if Paul walked in here right now, and what if the Apostle Paul took off his shirt and showed you his back, and you would see 39 lashes times 5 engraven on his back. There'd be a hush in this room as you considered what he's saying. Look at my back. Look at every lash I have taken, and know this, nothing can separate you from the love of God. What's he say? I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. That was to take his life. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger in rivers, from bandits, from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Paul knows what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? You're going to experience all these things. Trouble, hardship, danger, all these things you're going to see. And nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Now, I want you to look carefully at what he says next, because this applies to every person in this room. It says no. Say no. No. He asks a question. What can separate us from the love of God? Can all these things? Here's the answer. No. Say it again. No. In all these things. What things? Trouble, hardship, persecution. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's a big, big thing he's saying. And I want you to leave today until you get your mind around what does he mean? Well, first of all, what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Here's the definition. It describes one who is super victorious, who wins more than an ordinary victory, who is overpowering in achieving abundant victory. It describes a lopsided victory in which the enemy or opponent is completely routed. Here's what he's saying. In all these things, you are actually, when you face trouble, you should be more than a conqueror. When you face hardship, you shouldn't just be a conqueror or victorious. You should be more than a conqueror because you have access to the love of God no matter what is happening around you. Can you say amen to that? Here's what we're saying. Let me just condense it down. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. We have access to God's love, God's power, God's presence at any time and at all times, no matter what's happening or what's going on. Now, let's just start with what Paul gave us, the very first one, trouble. The easiest one was trouble. Then came hardship and on down the line. But let's just talk about trouble. Trouble is a Greek word. I've talked about it before. You know, the word is thipsis. Can you guys say thipsis? And thipsis just means pressure. Trouble is, in this case, trouble is you're feeling pressure. You're feeling stressed out. The word thipsis might be used when you're making wine. You put wine in a little wine press, and you might twist that top down. You use that pressure, apply the pressure to squeeze those grapes. And sometimes our lives are kind of like that. We feel trouble. We feel pressure. Things are coming due. There's deadlines, or there's issues in our family or relationships, and we feel pressure. We feel stress. Maybe it's in your marriage, your dating relationship. Maybe there's some stress, and it's affecting your family. Maybe at work you've got too much to do and it's piling up in such a way that you're overwhelmed. Anybody's desk look like that? I certainly hope not. Hope not. Oh, I have nodders out there. I don't know. That's not a good sign. Maybe this is your pressure that you have. Maybe a few years ago you got a lovely puppy that looked just like that. He was so sweet. He'd come when you called him. He was an adorable puppy. And then he grew into a brutish beast. A brutish beast. He goes around huffing and puffing and walking through your house. And you know, just the other day, my big brutish beast, I was sitting on my couch, that couch, as a matter of fact, with my little daughter, Ella. Ella's 12 years old. Ella and I were sitting there, we're talking on the couch, and I took my hand, my right hand, and I leaned it back on the couch to kind of lean back, and I slid my hand into a huge pile of slimy, wet, cold dog puke. You know why the dog puked? Because the dog ate something like 30 Timbits, little donut holes that were left out from the last weekend, right? That's what happened. Ella didn't eat them. The dog ate them. The dog got sick, threw up on the couch and like three places on the floor. You know what could have happened in that moment? I could have been more than a conqueror. I could have. I could have said, oh, I have this slimy puke upon my hand, but Christ in my heart, what can stop me? Honey, soap and water. You know, no, I didn't do that. I may or may not have screamed like a little girl in that instance. It may have happened. I'm not going to say it did happen. There was a little girl there. She didn't scream. I might have. I'm not saying. I might have been disgusted. I might have made puke sounds. I might have not reacted in the way as more than a conqueror. I might have been less than a conqueror in that situation. I did clean it all up. I found like four or five more piles. I cleaned it all up. I got the carpet cleaner out. I got the thing off the couch, whatever. But you know what? That was not a moment for me of overwhelming victory. But you know what it was? It was trouble. And I had the ability in that moment to call on Christ. Any trouble that we might have, we have the ability to call on Christ. So what about you? What about you? How many guys, you already raised your hand, you've got trouble, hardship. Maybe a few of you face some persecution, maybe occasionally. None of us really have much famine. We're not really in prison very often, naked, danger, sword. Probably doesn't occur to us very much, but how about you? When you face trouble, I know you all do, every one of you. By the way, how do I know that you all do? Well, Jesus actually said to us this amazing thing in John 16. I have told you this that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Do you have trouble in this world? Yes, you do. You're in a world that is revolving around you, and you have trouble. You have pressure in your life. In the trouble you're having, are you more than a conqueror? Are you overcoming that when there's relationship issues in your house? You know, we've called this year, 2016, the year of the family. Think about your family for a second. I'm sure in your family, how many guys here have a teenager in your home? Okay, trouble, right? Am I right about that? Exactly, trouble. I've got more than one of them. Okay, anyway, whatever it might be, also there's love and sweetness and great things and dogs too. But anyway, however you're living, I know there's some trouble in your life. There's some hardship that you're facing, some difficulties. When you face those things, are you more than a conqueror? Are you calling on the love of God, the power of God that you very well have access to because Christ lives in you? Or maybe this more describes you and who you, how you're dealing with it. It's the word defeated, defined as demoralized and overcome by adversity. In fact, I would guess for many of you here, sometimes you are, in fact, more than a conqueror. But sometimes, I'm guessing, you also become overwhelmed and defeated by the trouble and the hardship and the difficulties in your life. Let me tell you, it is more than possible for you to be more than a conqueror in all these things. As you face trouble and hardship and difficulty, let me tell you a quick story. Pastor Coley, give Pastor Coley a hand if you guys don't mind. Here he is right there. There he is. He's awesome. Pastor Coley this past week was in India. He was invited there to be on a mission trip, go to India. He was there in India, and he encountered a pastor in India. Pastor and his wife, Pastor Coley, went to their home and sat with them and talked with them. And that pastor told a story that in his area of his neighborhood where he lives, he's the only Christian that lives there. No other Christians live there. In fact, they can't go to a little store and buy an egg or buy food. They're persecuted against in that way. Well, one day a crowd, an angry mob, came to that man's house, that pastor's house, and they drug him from his house. They drug him down to the Hindu temple, and they were kind of forced converting him back to Hinduism. And at the temple, they held him there. They took the food sacrificed to idols, and they forced it in his mouth. They poured the water sacrificed to those temple idols, and they poured the water on him. Unfortunately, his teenage daughter was dragged along with him. His teenage daughter was roughed up as they're trying to tell him, "You cannot be a Christian. We will not listen to you." He spit the food out of his mouth, and he would not renounce Christ. Eventually, the crowd broke up and left, and Pastor Coley was there in his house, and they asked him the question, "Why don't you move away? Why don't you live somewhere else?" And this pastor victoriously, with joy, says, "Well, if I move away, who's going to tell them about Christ? I'm the only one. I'm the only one to tell them about Christ." I asked Pastor Coley, "Is this pastor bitter and angry?" And Coley said, "No, he's not bitter. He's not angry. He's living with joy in that place where no one around him is a Christian, and he is the only light in the darkness." Listen to me. That pastor is more than a conqueror. Amen? And when you face the trouble that you have, you can face it and become defeated by it. Or you can face it and become more than a conqueror. You can face it because God's love is never unavailable to you. Never unavailable to you. Let me say it like this. Fill in these blanks. God's love, God's presence is always available to us. Always. Now, Pastor Tom, why would you say that God's love and God's presence is always available? Prove that to me, Pastor Tom. Okay, I will. Ephesians 3:12 says this. Actually, 3:11. We'll back up one verse. "According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence." How about an amen for that? Here's what we're saying. Every time you face trouble, every time you face hardship, every time you face these things, the love of God is right there. And you can boldly and confidently invite him into your situation to overcome, not just conquer, to be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, right? Am I right about this? Do you see it? Now, maybe you're sitting there wondering, "Pastor Tom, I don't know about this. I don't know, Pastor Tom, if this is really true or not true. Are you really sure this is true? Are you really sure nothing can separate us?" Well, you know why I'm really sure? Because Paul says, "I am convinced." Look what he said. Hey, when I stop, you guys jump in. "For I am convinced." You didn't sound very convinced. Let's try it again. "For I am
convinced.
If my voice cracks, just pretend like it didn't happen, okay? We'll just have this little code of silence here amongst us. Now, you can tease me if you want. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, or any power, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I am convinced. Bible scholar John Stott says this about Paul's statement. Paul now reaches the climax of chapter 8 with "I am convinced." He deliberately uses the Greek perfect tense, meaning "I have become and remain entirely," say it with me, "entirely." Paul could not more strongly express himself with any other phrase. "I am convinced." Here's what Paul does next. Paul uses four pairs of opposites to show us it's impossible to be separated from the love of God. The four opposites. Number one, neither death nor life. Now understand what he's saying. Now there are people, all of us here in fact, are facing the fact that we at some point will die. Life has a 100% mortality rate. Did you know that? Every person will die. The only possible exception would be if Christ comes back before we might die, then it wouldn't happen. But we're facing the possibility of death. I mean, think about for a moment that moment when you go from being fully alive and your life leaves your body and suddenly you're dead. You know what? Your soul has left the earth, but God's love has not left you. Amen? I told you guys about a year ago or so, just about a year ago, my grandmother died. She was around 94 years old, and she had been living in a nursing home for some time. care facility. She actually had taught water aerobics there for almost 20 years, from like 70 to 90, she taught water aerobics. Kind of awesome, actually. She fell, and she broke her hip, and they did some x-rays and some tests, and they found that my grandmother, they didn't know, maybe she broke her hip, but they found that she had advanced stage bone cancer. In fact, she had cancer all through her entire body. They were going to do some physical therapy, and they said, you know what, you know, do you want to do treatment? She said, no, I don't want to do treatment. They said, well, it's very advanced. And they sat down with her, and they said, well, you know, we just want you to know that your life is going to end. We don't know, it might be days, might be weeks. It's not going to be very long. Your life is going to end. Took the news pretty well. She said, okay, you know what? I'm ready to go. Whenever it is, I'm ready to go. My uncle was there. My mom came over about a year ago. This is last year this time. And my uncle said, Mom, you should probably have some kind of last meal. What do you want? She said, let me think about it. I think I'd like a bologna sandwich with Wonder Bread. So we went out to the grocery store, got her stuff, brought it back in, and she was thinking, I'm going to die. She's thinking, it's over. My life is over. I'm going to die. Well, she sat down. She ate her bologna sandwich kind of in her little hospital room that was there. And my uncle, my mom left to go get something. My aunt was sitting there. And so my grandmother laid down. She ate her sandwich. She laid down in her little hospital bed. She closed her eyes, took a big deep breath, like, just stay there, eyes closed. After a minute or two, she opened her eyes, looked over, saw my aunt. She said, oh, are you dead too? And my aunt said, no, Fran, you didn't die. You're not dead. You didn't die. My grandma made this frustrating noise, like, shh. And she closed her eyes again. She counted down from 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Closed her eyes real hard. Looked over, and there's my aunt. She said, oosh. She was ready to go. She was ready to be done. She had her bologna sandwich, and she had Jesus, and she was out, right? She was in that moment. I hope all of us have that experience when it's time to go, that we're saying, we're ready. I'm ready. I hope we all get the countdown from 10 real slow and, you know, have that experience. But you know what? No matter what, neither death nor life can separate you if you're in Christ. You cannot be separated from the love of God. Amen? Amen. How about number two? Number two, Paul says this. Neither angels or demons or any power. Understand this. There is no demon that is powerful enough to separate you from the love of God. Amen? Not angels, not demons. How about this one? Not the present nor the future. Now, understand, we would say it like this. In our culture, we would say, nothing in your past, nothing in your present, and nothing in your future could separate you from the love of God. Now, think about that. That is a huge statement. I have met many people, and sitting right here is my dear brother, Jeff Houghton. I know he's had the same experience that I have had. We've met many people who said, you know what? God could never love me. Never. God could never love me. I have done things in my past. I have done things in my life. Never, ever could God love me. They're thinking that their past is excluding them. It's just not true. The death and resurrection of Christ is powerful enough for God to forgive you of everything. Amen? Maybe it's your present. Maybe today you've done something and you came to worship and you couldn't fully worship because you've already done something today. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have said. Maybe you did something you shouldn't have done and you came in and you're thinking, wow, something in my present. Or maybe it's a problem that you have. Maybe you've got a conflict with a family member or other issues and something in the present you think could separate you. Never, never, never. Let me just tell you this. Nothing could happen in the future that would separate you from the love of God. Listen. In America right now, we're right here in the middle of election season. We got a primary coming up in a couple days in Ohio. You know what? It does not matter. Who gets elected because, well, it doesn't matter who gets elected, but whoever gets elected, the future, nothing can happen that can separate you from the love of God. Amen? Amen. Nothing. You should vote, by the way. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, the interesting one, I think, is number four. Paul says neither height nor depth, and you might wonder, well, what does that mean? Does that mean like on the top of Mount Everest or the bottom of the ocean? Yes, it would mean that. But Bible scholars say Paul is actually talking about something that we probably would not consider when he says neither height nor depth. Here's William Barclay says this. Paul speaks about height and depth. These are astrological terms. Height was the time when the star was at its zenith and its influence was strongest. Depth was the moment when a star was at its lowest point, waiting to rise and have an influence on world events. The ancient world was haunted by the tyranny of reading the stars. They believed a man was born under a certain star and his destiny was decided. Paul says to these haunted men and women, the stars cannot hurt you. In their rising and falling, they are powerless to separate you from the love of God. Amen? There's no, you can't say, oh, I'm a Libra, I guess I can't have the love of God. No, you can't say that. There's no stars that are controlling your destiny. Maybe somebody said to you when you were younger some things that have affected you and haunted you, and you felt like maybe a teacher told you, you'll never amount to anything. I doubt that happened, but maybe it did. Or maybe somewhere along the line, a parent said something that really hurt you. You know, by the way, here's an interesting stat about this idea. 90% of prison inmates were told by their parents they'd be behind bars one day. Hey, if you're telling your kids that, stop telling them that, by the way. You little criminal? No, stop, right? Maybe somebody told you something at one point, and they told you something at some point, and it's haunting you now. Paul says, no, there's not some destiny out there in the stars or wherever guiding you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Here's what he says. Neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me give you an example of this, a dramatic example of this. This is Ravi Zacharias. How many of you guys know who that is, Ravi Zacharias? I'm kind of a fan of Ravi Zacharias myself. And he has a radio program. I'm on the podcast for this. And here's the byline is, helping the thinker believe, helping the believer to think. And Ravi Zacharias told a story one day in his radio program about someone he had known long ago that was an example. Ever be separated from the love of God. So just take a second, it's a few minutes long, and listen to this story as Ravi Zacharias talks about this idea.
In 1971, I was in Vietnam. I was in my mid-20s, and my interpreter was a 17-year-old fellow by the name of Pham Hien, H-I-E-N. I hadn't seen him from 1971. Next time I spoke to him was 1988. 17 years later, he doubled up on his life by now. I said, Hien, what happened to you over all these years? He said, Ravi, you'll never believe if I told you the details. Let me tell you in a nutshell. Because I was a Christian, because I was an interpreter for the missionaries, because I interpreted for the American troops, I was one day arrested immediately and put me into prison. And as I was behind prison bars, they gave me the writings of Marx and Engels, brainwashed me into disavowing God. For month after month, after 1.5 years of sheer mental torture, I said, all right, I'm not going to believe in God anymore. I'm going to disavow that this God actually exists. And he said, and so what happened as I began to reflect upon those issues, try to think of all that was at stake, I said, all right, I'm not going to believe in God anymore. And I wake up tomorrow morning for the first time in my life, I'm not going to pray. And he didn't. That day, his commandant put him in care to clean up the latrines in the prison. He said, it was horrible. The stench was awful, Ravi. He says, I could barely stand it. And as I was cleaning those latrines in the prison, I looked at the waste paper basket. He said, I saw pieces of paper with human excrement on it. And I was emptying it into a bag when suddenly with the corner of my eye, I had seen one of those was written in English. And I hadn't read English for so long now. I looked around but nobody was watching, washed away all the dirt from it and slipped that piece of paper into my pocket. I went back to my room that night, waited for all my roommates to go to sleep, and hidden under the mosquito net with a flashlight, I looked on that piece of paper, and on the right-hand side it said, Romans chapter 8. And I started to read, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he goes on, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus justifies. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine? He began to read and read, and he says, the tears poured down my face. I got on my knees and said, Lord, you wouldn't even let me get out of your reach for 24 hours. Forgive me. Next day, I went to the commander and said, do you mind if I clean the latrines every day? He went in every day, and the commander had been given a New Testament by some missionaries a long time ago. He was using it for toilet paper every day in the latrine. He then would go wash the paper, put it in his pocket, bring it back. He was collecting the whole of the book of Romans here in a prison camp in Vietnam.
Isn't that an awesome story? Just an awesome story. So I couldn't even go one day. Couldn't even go one day without God reaching out to me to bring me back. That God's love, I cannot be separated from the love of God. Nothing. Two things I want to tell you that this passage clearly says. Here's number one. Paul says, for I am convinced nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. And number two, Paul says this. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And there should be two effects in your life. This scripture produces two things in you. Number one, it should comfort you. To know nothing can happen that can separate you from God's love. But number two, this scripture should challenge you. Because you know what? You have the ability to be more than a conqueror in every situation. But you might be allowing yourself to be defeated through trouble and hardship and whatever comes your way. You've got to step up to this challenge of saying, no, in all these things, I'm going to invite God to come, fill me, work through me, that I might be more than a conqueror in these situations. Through him. That's what it says. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Why don't you say those two words with me? Through him. Through him. That's the real key, is to do it through Jesus Christ. I'm going to end this message real briefly with this idea of how do we live through him? How do we live as more than conquerors? And here's number one. You can fill the blank in if you like. There's no way you can live through him if you don't have faith in God's word. You've got to have it. By the way, I got this new Bible recently. I ordered it, got it, came in, and I ordered it because this Bible is what's described as super giant print. See if you can read the words on it. This is super giant print right here. It is huge. I was sick of taking my glasses off and reading the Bible and whatever. I wanted to read it in my hand right here because I'm getting old, my friends. That's what's happened to me. But anyway, faith in God's word. It doesn't matter if you got super giant print or super tiny print. It doesn't matter. You want to have faith that God's word is true. Not just what it says about God, but what it says about you as well. When it says that you are more than a conqueror, you've got to have faith in that. When it says I'm in Christ, you've got to believe this applies to me. This isn't theoretical for someone else. It's me. I've got to have faith in God's word. And then number two, when you come into that moment, that this trouble and hardship and difficulty and that time of testing, you've got to pause for a moment of prayer and refocusing. Maybe it's a temptation that you're facing. The temptation comes, the trouble comes, the hardship comes, the difficult times come, and you pause, you pray, you refocus your mind. And then number three, exceptionally important, you invite the Holy Spirit into your present moment. Holy Spirit, come and fill me right now. Fill me in this time. Fill me. I need you. I need your strength in this moment of trouble and hardship. And then number four, last of all, I want to encourage you to make a declaration of God's truth. This is you standing on the truth of God, saying it out loud with your mouth. I'm making a declaration. God, I declare this. I declare your truth to be true. I've been talking about this whole sermon series. Who am I in Christ has been the question. It comes out this time in a declaration. Here's the declaration for today. It goes like this. I will not be defeated. I will not let pressure or hardship or death or demons or the present or the future or anything else in all creation separate me from knowing the love of God. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves me. So picture yourself. You're going through your day. You come to a moment of hardship and difficulty. And so what you do is you remember, I've got faith in God's word. I'm in Christ. I'm more than a conqueror. In that moment of trouble and hardship or temptation, you stop. You refocus yourself. You pray. You invite the Holy Spirit into that moment of temptation, trouble, pressure, persecution, whatever it might be. And then you make this declaration. Now, I knew you couldn't remember it, so I've done it before, but I did it again this week. I put it on a little card for you. I put this exact declaration on a little card. It's got the Romans logo on one side, and it's got this exact declaration on the back side. I want to encourage you as we close the service out, if you want to come get one of these cards. But as you get the card, what you're really doing is you're saying, you know what, I'm dedicating myself, that I'm going to live through Christ. That's my goal. I'm going to set these cards over here on the altar, and you can come grab one if you like in just a moment or two. But I just want you to ask yourself this question. Am I potentially willing to say to God, God, my desire is to live through Christ. My desire is to live more than a conqueror in my life. Why don't you bow your heads, if you would, all across the room. Before I pray and close this service out, close out this sermon series, I just want you to take a second and just reflect on that. Are you living through Christ right now? Are you living as more than a conqueror, or are you struggling? Are you feeling defeated by your circumstances and temptations and all the things that are happening all around you? What about today? Could you come and kneel and grab one of these cards and say to God, I want to live through Jesus Christ in my life? Father, I thank you for all those who are here. I thank you, God, that My voice lasted the whole sermon. I praise you for that, God. God, we just have two more to go. Father, I pray that you would powerfully in this time call us to that place of living through Jesus Christ. God, we're comforted to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. But God, at the same time, we're challenged because we desire to live the potential that we have in Christ, that we could live as more than conquerors in our lives. We praise you and we thank you. And God, we give you this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, why don't you all stand up if you would? If you want to come up, grab a card, come on up. Come up, grab a card, kneel down. There's a big stack here, some there, a big stack over there. Come kneel down, grab a card, spend some time in prayer. And when you're ready, we'll sing this song as well. Come on up. Come on up, grab one, get one, come on.
Back with you. What a great reminder of the truth of God's word this morning. I hope that you know it. I hope that you received it. I hope that you don't let anything discourage you from hearing the truth that was proclaimed over you this morning and to you. So just receive that. We pray for you to do that. Hey, it is good to be back. Thank you for your prayers. I wanted to let you know of a couple things that we're very excited about. You've heard maybe some about them, but I just want to remind you before you head out this week. The Easter Extravaganza, there are cards in the back. We would love for you to take these cards and use them as a tool to invite people to come. The Easter Extravaganza is Saturday, March 26th. So that's March 26th, the Saturday right before Easter. Use that as a tool. Reach out to people, invite them from your neighborhood, from your families, coworkers, things like that. There'll be activities for kids. Use these cards in that way, if you will. And then also something that I'm very excited about, and I hope that you will be as well, this tool, a devotional tool for Holy Week. It is to be used March 21st, all that week leading up to Sunday, March 27th, Easter. Use this as a family. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at these. They're at the doors. They may be underneath the carts. You just look for those. They're in baskets. This is a devotional for you to use personally, but also there's kids' activities in here. Use this with your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, things like that, and walk them through Holy Week, looking forward with anticipation to Easter and what Easter means for us as people of faith. The thing that that resonated with me and certainly was emphasized on my trip to India the last couple weeks, Tom said this morning, have faith in God's word. Time and time again, the people that I met, the stories that I was able to hear from them, what sustained them was that faith in God's word. He is who he says he is. And you are who he says you are through Christ. So remember that as you go out this week. So let me pray over you. It's my honor to do that again. Father, thank you for each individual that you have brought here this morning. You have divinely been at work in their lives. We believe that, Lord. We ask you to continue to work in their lives. Some may not know it yet. Some may doubt it. Some may question it. But we know you are always at work. And Lord, your word is true. You are who you say you are, and we are who you say we are in Christ. And we accept that, and we love that. So, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters as they go into this new week. Watch over them. May they have great faith in you. May they trust, even when it's difficult. May they trust in you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, guys.